Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hello? Good evening. Well, this is Lila again with Bedtime Time Stories that I'd sure like to share with you. And Dean Val, my very good friend, is with me, and also my very good friend, Tim Von Pinon. I'll be reading from Book 6, Your Dream Visions, by Duane, the great writer. We will discuss the chapters or whatever time we feel that something very important is that we'd like to discuss. So, I'll be reading now. Crystal meth, or meth, which is short for methamphetamine, has become a very popular drug in both the United States and around the world. This drug was used almost three times more than crack cocaine in 1999. In 1983, meth was the first developed from ephedrine. A chemist, Nagasaki, was responsible for its creation. It wasn't until 1919 that meth was turned into its crystallized form by Rita Ogata. Ogata was probably able to do this by reduction of amphetamine using iodine and red phosphorus. Amphetamine, a related drug, which first came into existence in 1987 in Germany. Meth manufacturing initially began in the U.S. in Hawaii in the 1960s. One of the earliest uses of meth occurred during World War II. The German military dispensed pervitin, which was meth. It was freely administered to both tank crews and aircraft personnel. Chocolate was often dosed with meth to give and given to tank crewmasters and their pilots. For the last 3 years of Adolf Hitler's life in 1942 and 45, he received daily IV injections of meth by his doctor, Theodor Morell. This was done as a treatment for depression and fatigue. Historians have speculated that this was done to treat Parkinson's disease. However, it is unsure as to whether Hitler had Parkinson's disease or the Parkinson-like syndromes, pill rolling, and finger movements, and an unsteady gait were due to abuse of meth, plus other substances that he was taking. After World War II, meth became known as shabu, and amphetamine, which became largely available in Japan. This came to be because the Japanese military no longer utilized the drug. In 1951, shabu became prohibited by the Japanese Ministry of Health and banned. The banning of the drug is thought to have contributed to the overproduction of meth in Japan. Even today, meth is strongly associated with international crime, and the Japanese underworld is one of the many countries who make and sell to the unaware public. In the 1950s, meth became a more commonly prescribed drug. It was often prescribed for narcolepsy, alcoholism, obesity, and others. By the 1960s, there was a more significant use of illegally manufactured meth by users within their own homes. Crystal meth is made from everyday household chemicals and common household components to make it easy to manufacture. Today, instructions for meth can be ready on websites. Until quite recently, Sudafed, a major component of meth, could be purchased in bulk without question. An ounce of meth is worth up to $1,000, and it's made with $80 of products from your local hardware and pharmacy. In the 1980s, use of meth peaked. In fact, San Diego, California was considered the meth capital of North America by Economist magazine. United States laws in 1983 prohibited possession of equipment and purchasers of meth producers. Canada passed the Controlled Substance Analog Enforcement Act to decrease the growing rate of designer drugs, both in use and production. Regardless of meth has expanded throughout the U.S. It is in rural places where clandestine labs are often set up. This is because production of meth causes toxic smells that can dispel unnoticed. For each pound of meth created, there is 5 to 6 pounds of waste produced. Despite efforts by law enforcement, men will use it, and it is still alive and raging throughout the United States and the world. This is a serious issue, which will take much more work and effort to combat. With all the money involved, it could last until the end of the earth. For this reason, it's quite feeble and feasible that in a few more years, crystal meth will continually appear in the news, creating an even more devastating history for itself than it has now. Adolf Hitler instructed the use of meth for his soldiers during World War II to give them a leg up on the enemy. Indeed, it makes sense that Hitler wanted to use substances to enhance his soldiers with their readiness and abilities, as he liked them alert and ready for battle, which, of course, is a lame and idiotic ideal to create. Just like any athlete may wish to use steroids, there are long-term effects of these drugs, and there are people at young ages having heart attacks and bone deterioration due to meth use. Meth, among other unessentials, will overwhelm the healthcare system as a youth, and it continues to be used in the future. There are those who suggest legalizing meth, but legalizing meth is definitely a nightmare scenario. The U.S. military has a synthesized drug to keep their troops and pilots alert for longer periods of time. From the extreme public, there is evidence that aluminum in the brain is a causative factor in Alzheimer's disease and points towards sodium fluoride's strong affinity to bond with this dangerous aluminum, a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing. And also, it has the ability to trick the blood-brain barrier by imitating the hydrogen ion, thus allowing the chemical to access the brain tissue. Honest chemists who have attempted to blow the whistle on sodium fluoride's megabucks propaganda campaign have consistently been given a dose of professional blacklisting, and thus their valid points disputing the current vested interests of huge chemical companies has never received the acknowledgement they deserve in the national press. In 1952, a PR campaign rammed the concept of fluoridation through the public health department and various dental organizations. Yet, it has still survived all these years and various dental organizations. Yet it has still survived all these years. Sodium fluoride has, without most people knowing it, sodium fluoride has continued in the same vein right up to the present day. And so the use of sodium fluoride has now become a standard with today's lifestyle. Do we want to talk about this? I think we should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hi, Tim. Hi, Lila. This is Dean Bell. Nature has its own drugs, and those are natural. There's plenty of herbs and magic mushrooms if you want to get psilocybin and if you want to go on trips. But these are natural occurring substances, whereas what we're talking about here, sodium fluoride and pharmaceuticals and meth, these are all synthetic distortions, and it's no accident that these are marketed and purposely brought out to the public, and they're basically to dumb people down, to keep them passive, to keep them distracted, any number of reasons like that. And it's a purposely done maneuver to help keep the public and the masses under control. It's like Hitler did with the sodium fluoride and the meth, just what Lila was talking about. So there are natural substances that do not harm the body out there, that we're just not marketed. We're just, they don't emphasize that there are things out there that are beneficial to the body and mind. But of course, those aren't paid any attention to with the mainstream. So, yeah, maybe Tim, you have something too on that.
Yeah, sure. It sounds like the Earth would be better off if they didn't manufacture any more aluminum. And as far as these drugs and the effects like meth on so many humans in the world, they like the feeling of it, the astral body, I guess it is, once it gets used to that feeling that the body gets, then the brain wants to seemingly continue to have that stuff, and it's a mind altering effect too. And from what we've seen of the use of it in war and the effects of it, of people that take it and they take it all their life. They get crystallized veins from it, and they end up, a lot of them, if not dead, in violent things that take place on it, or in the prisons. Just another one of these things in the physical here, as I guess a comparison of how it isn't in the real universes. And about the even the natural,
where'd it go?
Things that are mind altering, like the peyote or the psilocybin or marijuana, all these drugs are still opening up a person's aura to these astral entities by its mind altering effects. So I don't know whether the Callum created them, and for certain reasons, and is trying to convince people that some are okay to take and some aren't. I guess that as we become aware of the effects of how it makes each person that uses them, how they're focused, what their focus is in life, or their intent, why they take those things. It's we see that there's drugs all over the earth. That's just part of what's going on here in the physical right now, and we see that the drugs are affecting people to make them go into McDonald's or churches, or they start shooting people, and a lot of these people are on drugs that are committing these atrocities on their fellow man. So the effects are very powerful, and that's probably part of the cabal's way to keep in control of man through the distribution of these drugs to humans. And they get people to do what they want for them, dastardly deeds on these drugs.
Strange.
So there's something that we're dealing with here, experiencing on Earth, the effects of drugs.
The very first occurrence of purposely put sodium fluoride into drinking water was in the German ghettos and in the Nazi Germany's infamous prison camps. The Gestapo had little concern about sodium fluoride's supported and supposed effect on children's teeth. Instead, their reason for mass medicating with the SF was to sterilize humans and force the people in their concentration camps to calm bovine submission. October 1954, the research chemist named Charles Perkins regarded a statement in his book, "The Truth About Water Fluoridation," to the effect the idea of water fluoridation was brought to England from Russia by the Russian communist Kreminov. In the 1930s, Adolf Hitler and the German Nazis envisioned a world to be dominated and controlled by a Nazi philosophy of Germanism. The German chemists worked out very ingenious and far-reaching plans of mass control, which was submitted and adopted by the German general staff. This plan was to control the population in any given area through mass meditation of drinking water supplies. By this method, they could control the population in whose areas and also reduce population by water medication that would produce sterility in women, and so on. In this scheme of mass control, sodium fluoride occupied a prominent place. As it still does today, repeated doses of infinitesimal amounts of sodium fluoride will in time reduce an individual's power to resist domination by slowly poisoning and narcotics in a certain area of the brain, thus making one submissive to the will of those who wish to govern them. The real reason behind water fluoridation is not to benefit children's teeth, as this is the only ploy that the public was given. So they will accept what is given to them. The real purpose behind water fluoridation is to reduce the resistance of the masses to domination and control and loss of liberty. When the Nazis under Hitler decided to go to Poland, both the Germany and the general staff and the Russian general staff exchanged scientific and military ideas, plans, and personnel, and the scheme of mass control through water medication was seized upon by the Russian communists because it fitted ideally into their plans to communize the world. Sodium fluoride water solutions are the cheapest and the most effective rat killers known to chemists, as they are odorless, colorless, and tasteless. There is no antidote to remedies and no hope. It is an instant and complete extermination of rats and cockroaches. There are so many opinions and options of assistance and even cures within the world, and also with the individual's personal awareness. I personally do not recommend anything synthetic, as I have learned and taught myself about all the wonderful and natural things which each level of life already is. I suggest looking to the real guidance and see what takes place in one's dream visions. Those things which have been invented have their purpose, but today and into the future, the humans on this planet will continually experience the misuse of so much that has been created from the minds of the unaware. The basics for survival here are very important, as each person develops themselves to become more aware. The more awareness position is one of the gaining of real perception to all the levels of life, and how they apply to each of us, and not just to one level of material hardness. The various levels and how they apply are, first, the physical material realm, which is the lowest place in life and is known as a passing dream, as it is solid matter and other stuff of this nature, because the real awareness is hidden so deeply within its boundaries, the embracing of the mind and emotion overlaps the perceptive recognition of the real you. On all the round worlds, everything is formulated from the dirt, which is the lowest vibratory aspect of the sound light reality. And so, as each individual awareness goes through the psychic process of material unawareness, they gain enough experience to eventually become aware of the fact that they are part of a much bigger picture. After millions of various embodiments, including the physical veil, the real you is ready to move from being an unaware soul into becoming new you. Through the psychic process of all that existed here, such as business, religion, politics, brutality, rulership, loneliness, metaphysical teachings, and whatever else one becomes involved with during each reincarnation, the real you becomes tempered to finally meet with the real universal guides. This is when the new life where the real you begins. All that one has experienced had led up to this new nowness of the all is, and has simply brought the real you into a position to start a journey to real freedom. The second arena relates to the astral worlds and all of the various levels contained within it. This is what I call the first heaven of man. The real you has a body here, which is just the emotional senses and facility of this area. It is not that a person which pops over into the best part of this area, just like where a person lives on the earth, because there are hundreds of levels to the astral realm. From the bottom of the astral world and realm, it is the purgatories of guessing and gruesome areas the people of earth relate to as hell. Those who have done drastically dastardly deeds with their physical life will be sentenced for their term by the lords of the karma and the courts of their judgment, which there is no plea bargaining. So all those smart lawyers who think they are getting away with something just because they follow the corrupt laws that have been invented by sleazy politicians will soon find themselves paying the price. Of course, most humans have been drugged with the idea of belief, so they really do not think what I am presenting applies to them. But when they get to their appointed position, they will find that the idea of belief does not apply to anything. Fortunately, and not everyone will have to experience the lowest parts of life, because there are truly wonderful areas in this astral heaven, which many people will enjoy until they have to return to Earth or another round world to complete their psychic process and figure out their karmic load. Those who have developed themselves with the real universal guides get to bypass this lower heaven and move higher in life. The Lord and ruler here is the brother of the Kalum god of the mental worlds. Jot is also known by many senses according to the worshipped god of humans, such as Jehovah of the old scriptures. Jot is one of the governors who sent to earth the saviors and saints from the past and threw down lightning bolts and bolts now and then to keep mankind in submission to his commandments. Well, and then we've got the third psychic realm. Do you want to say something about this? The third psychic realm is the causal plane. It's a wondrous area that is part of the mental world, and so much more wondrous and expansive than the astral worlds. This area corresponds to one's memory body, where the seeds and experiences of many past lives are kept. Those who are of a psychic nature enter the astral and causal realms to verify certain people or events that have taken place on the earth. The Lord Governor of this realm rules under the jurisdiction of the Kalum God, Lord of the two heavens of man. The fourth level is the mind power world, home of the Lord God of all the belief systems and businesses. This is the great realm of the rep systems and those who they persuade into their marketing ploys. The Kalum God and regulations and obedience rules. And here all levels below, mainly over who are the most unaware and susceptible to his mistress, the influence. Kalum is better known as a three-headed god by the real universal guides. The first and most prominent face is that of the benevolent head. He sides and likes to share most of his followers and the onlooking public. It is the happy head which appears to be humble and generous to all that come to him. When Kalum wants his way and looks to subdue those who are not in agreement with his whims and power, if the happy face does not work, then he uses the second head, the serpent. The serpent head drives fear into one's own very being as one sees this diabolical creature, which many have seen in their nightmares and portrayed by gargoyles and other creatures experienced on the earth. This is the reason that most people fear their God, because the serpent head will make sure that all the unaware worship the Kaloon God through erroneous love, fear, hate, or whatever it takes to have their will bent to his will. The third slithering head is known as the influence. She is the most deceptive of all, because for the most part, very few really recognize her. The influence is a combined consciousness of all the unaware humans and their thoughts, desires, emotions, likes, dislikes, and anything which is of the lower nature that applies to the silly unawareness that most humans partake in. She actually rules the Kaloon God as he deserves her the most. The mental worlds are the grand arena of such wonder and spectacular beauty. It is here a person may spend thousands of years before returning to the round worlds. A person's dream visions can occur on any of these levels. For the most part, there are only a very few who will want to enter the realms and universes of real truth, which are above these. The last body of man is the etheric realm, the subconscious, which lies in the upper mental worlds. The etheric worlds are beyond belief, as they are like fairylands of the most wondrous exquisiteness. It is on this level that the real universal guide brings their new you students and reveals the real you. Without the encumbrances of the lower bodies, this is the first stage of real enlightenment and true spirituality. As one experiences themselves as a being of light, brighter than that of the sun in the sky, the spiritual sense of the four lower realms is that mainly of business, which is very clearly demonstrated on the earth and has nothing to do with the real self. All the lower worlds from this wondrous etheric level are now seen clearly as to what they really are and what is actually taking place. As one encompasses all the true and needed knowledge of the lower realms from this marvelous position, it is from here the new student decides if they will enter the real universes and become a new you leader with the new man and the real universal guides and help to promote the new wave of the new presentation to all the worlds of the unaware. What I have termed as the sixth level is actually the deep, dark border between the psychic realms and the real universes as the sound light reality. This area is a dividing line between the lower realms of simulated life and limited embodiments and the great and brilliant universes of true realness, of the true reality, the all is. It takes the radiant light of the real guides to penetrate this area and deliver one into the real light beyond the deception and darkness of the gods of man and their authoritarian ruling bodies. The seventh level is the real home of the real you. It is the first perfect universes of the sound light reality. On Earth, one's body is sustained by breathing, whereas in the seventh level, all that is can only be true aliveness. Here, one is a being of light beyond all the suns of the lower realms. Beyond this level, there are numerous positions of realness until one eventually enters into the most secret and hidden position where resides the great reality, the all is. Very few will ever venture this far into reality, where it takes a great courage and a venturesome being to do so. No matter, all who enter the seventh level are finally beyond the gods of man and obtain real future forever. So it only makes sense for one to pay attention to their dream visions and humbly acknowledge the great guidance one can personally have with those who know life the best, the Avatars and the real universes of the guides. Okay, let's discuss this. This is very wonderful. Okay, what do you say, Avell?
Yes, Lila, thank you. That's I think one of the keys here is to contribute something, and that in a way gets you past all these levels that you read about. That'll get you into more so the higher, you could say, or the seventh or the real universes by contributing something of the benefit for everybody. There's challenges on all these levels, although they're beautiful. You can get tap-lined and stuck and attached to certain things on the levels, but if you keep the focus, which I noticed Dwayne always does, he just keeps his focus no matter what on the is, and that gets you through all the challenges we face, if it's health or it's any kind of hardship we face, pain, anything like that. Just focus on the is, and you go straight to the isness, and in a way bypass these levels, because there's so many levels you can get sidetracked and stuck and it just easily, very, very easily, even for lifetimes, in one idea or one kind of path or consideration. So keep with the isness, and then everything will be okay. Keep with business and do something like we're doing here with the radio show. Do something that's helping others wake up, because everything is for everybody.
That, do you have anything to contribute to that? I think you do.
Okay. Yes, it's a lot of, information or where we get this real education that these new books by Dwayne the Great Writer provides us, or provides to those who pay attention to what he's sharing here. It was interesting, the process that we have to go through to be tempered in these psych realms to get to the point or brought to where in the etheric level we get to start the journey to real freedom. These different planes and the description of them, and how important it is for us to pay attention to our dream visions in life. It's all amazing, like how the drugs are being used on Earth, and even these so-called know-it-alls that are called doctors or dentists, and here they promote these things that, like the stuff for your teeth that is poison and dumbs you down and keeps you submissive and to the authoritarians. It's without this information, people are not going to be aware of what's happening or being done to them. So I guess it's when we get to that point where we have gone through the process enough and have become aware enough to start paying attention to the real guidance and the real education that's being offered. And what's so important is that it's easy to say that there's no other place on Earth that this information can be found except in this new presentation, because people have this modern technology and there's endless people claiming this and that about how much they seem to know about life. And so a person has to be the risk taker, it sounds like, to find out for themselves. There's the beginning is singing the new you song and reading the new books that are being offered by Dwayne the Great Writer. And pay attention to your dream visions, what life's showing you while you're sleeping, what's really going on, and try to understand what they mean. And if it's something that's very important in your life, gives you a purpose why you came here, then I guess we should be very thankful for this opportunity to not have to return to this lowest place in life anymore with all these hard lessons or experiences we go through in this process.
How true it is that we have to learn that there's something bigger and better and more exciting if we're willing to really get into this and dig out, find what's really real. We are so deceived here. Everything is just illusion. So dream books have begun to appear in great number in the 16th century. After more than 1,000 years of medieval mix-ups, most of the dream books at that time were secondary copies of those which appeared centuries before, as in the Egyptian golden era and before the change of the Christian calendar. It was during the Middle Ages when the church put their attention on the importance of dreams. There were many who claimed miraculous cures from the meeting of their various saints while they were dreaming. In those times, people were very superstitious, as this is where the foundation for today's belief system stems from. It would be wiser for the church to take a new approach with their followers. But for the most part, they figure whatever has worked before will continue to do so. In those ancient days, people would retire early because the nighttime was dark, and it was believed that the devil would roam at night looking for his victims. So in those times, people looked to the astral god, Jehovah, who had made his mark in the minds of the superstitious. It's not hard for one to see where the idea of belief started, as mankind has evolved through this his elementary stages with the same rhetoric today. I have a great compassion for people and how they are so strung out with their faith, hope, and belief in something which is very limited and based upon fear and basically myth. Just because a lot of people agree upon something does not make it real, but only a personal truth from this realm of experience. And so the devil creature like to pester the good folks of the day if they stayed out too late past dark, as this story goes. So much of the time people would actually scare themselves and then begin to tell stories. And pretty soon the same tale is told all over the world. And then for thousands of years, some stories can be fun, but when they become a way of life, they can be scary. The revolutions that were produced from these ancient dream books and was taken, in fact, from such sources as oracles. Very few people would question whether the written authority, as long as there were many who did agree. And so, as time passed, so did the stories and the tales. But the church continually invented and created new policies to suit their needs of control. Because of the brutal times, the interpretation of dreams was very important. So much so that people would actually become violent and torture the person giving the reading and even burn buildings and houses. If the dream interpretation involved the end of some personal pleasures and warnings of such nature, the oracle was flogged and sometimes killed. Caesar, the Roman Empire and Emperor of 1437 AD, always had a professional dreamer with him to avoid any uprisings, and many times an astrologer quartered in his palace. Tiberius would make sure the interpretations were to the public's liking, or he would have them executed. And so he solved the problem immediately. If the prophecy was in his favor, he would announce it. And so it was there where very few bad dreams or prophecies and prophecies were not to his liking. So you better say something good or you're... or you're really going to get in trouble. What do you say to that, Val?
Mm-hmm. I've been watching Outlander, a Netflix series about this woman who, she went to a sacred place where they had these stones, and she touched the stone, and she went back from, it was early 1900s to the 1700s. She found herself back in the old days in England. And then she found herself, she was a healer in the present. And then she took back that skill in the old days too, in the 1700s. And she found herself healing this boy. And there's a priest that thought the boy was possessed with demons. So she had to deal with him as well as trying to heal the boy. So we find ourselves in certain positions. You know, she had to either, she was considered a witch or a demon herself by this preacher. And just like these people who interpret dreams here in the past, who are in danger of, if they say the wrong thing, their life could be at stake. Fortunately, we're not there yet here in this world, but we do have some of that going around with the doctors, alternative doctors who get off because they're saying too much, and political figures that are whistleblowing, again, saying too much. So there is that going along too. So this is a very dangerous world for anybody that talks about what's really going on, whether it's true or not. Well, if it doesn't sound like what you're supposed to, you know, the party line, the narrative that's supposed to be talked, then there is a danger here. So that's part of why we are the risk takers, and it takes a risk taker to continue with this, because you will not be well liked, pretty much guaranteed, in this world by most people. And they will like call you a demon or a cult or whatever, because they don't understand what we're presenting, which is just very clean and pure and sincere. But to others who don't have the experience, it sounds like they can't just relate to it, so they make things up, they create things about the new presentation, about us individually. So that's why, again, we're the risk takers, because we're taking this on, the adventure to share this and present it to those who may be a little antagonistic and aggressive toward us. But there are others who are open to it, and those are the people that we are fortunate enough to meet and present this to and give the opportunity to wake up. So there you go, Lila.
That's a beautiful ending. That's really beautiful. And with that, I think that we should sing the new you. Well, let's all sing this now. Pleasant dreams.
Good night. Happy
thanks,
dreams.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Lila. Bye. We'll see you.
Bye.